We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello and welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Soccer Podcast, brought to you by SoRare. Are you looking for NFTs that are both fun and have actual utility? Try SoRare, the largest NFT-based fantasy game. You can collect, trade, and compete with officially licensed digital cards of soccer players from over 180 clubs on SoRare. That's SoRare.com. Okay, so joining me as usual to break down Saturday's three-game slate is Jordan Cooper. Jordan, we have a little bit different slate than we've seen recently. Three home favorites, three significant home favorites. Do you want to just give a quick breakdown, general breakdown?
Yeah, well, two significant home favorites and a somewhat, a decently sized home favorite. So we got Liverpool at home to Aston Villa, Chelsea at home to Leeds. They both have implied goal scoring at 2.27, 2.42. Arsenal is at home to Southampton. They have implied goal total of 1.87. And then, you know, Southampton at 1, Leeds at 0.8, Aston Villa 0.85. I mean, essentially, we're kind of looking at three teams, maybe 3.5 teams on this slate. Obviously, you know, Leeds and Aston Villa, you know, you could play guys GPP-wise, but you're focused primarily on Liverpool and Chelsea. I think Arsenal comes in a distant third on that. And on this slate, I'm not sure with the rotation and players that are questionable, I'm not sure you could necessarily, like, you're not going to be able to build lineups until these 11s come out an hour before lock, because we have to see what Chelsea are going to do on their wings, Alonso and Reece James, what they're going to do up front. I mean, like, is Mount going to be in? Is Ziyech going to be in? Is Havertz going to be in? Is Werner going to be in? Right? What's going on in their midfield with Loftus-Cheek and Jorginho? Who knows? Then we got Liverpool. Liverpool is probably going to set up lineup as usual, but Jota is questionable. Maybe we get a Minamino start centrally, but there's some questions there. Arsenal, Smith Rowe is questionable. How are they going to line up there? Are they going to play Lacazette with Aubameyang? And then, like, is Tierney going to play instead of Nuno Tavares? And all these things matter. I mean, like this is, from building lineups, to me, this is much more of a GPP slate than a cash slate. There's no cash lineup that I'm happy with. Like, right. you're probably playing two or three guys that if they score two or three points, you wouldn't be shocked, because, like, what else are you playing? In fact, I'd rather play four defenders on this slate if possible. I'd rather play five defenders on this slate if possible, even. Then, like, midfield is gross, and forward has no floor. So, comes down to a Liverpool slate, and the first thing that we always say is to Salah or not to Salah. The pricing on the slate is a bit softer than we normally see on some players. We normally see Salah at like 12-2 or something, right? Like they start pricing these guys up more. But the difference between Salah and Ted 8 and some of the other guys that are like 3,000 cheaper, I don't. Salah kills you if he scores two goals, but I'm not even sure if he's going to be that owned in cash games with the pricing the way it is. That like I'm not scared. I believe as of right now, Salah builds are not optimal for cash games.
Yeah, I agree. So let's like start at forward. Forward's tough then. So just like process of elimination, we're not going to play anyone from Leeds or Villa at forward from cash games. Southampton, you may have an option in Tella for 4,100. Arsenal normally doesn't have cash forwards. I think you could consider Saka if, and only if Odegaard isn't in the lineup, then Saka would have some sets. I think you could consider Lacazette only because of his price, 5,200, very cheap. And then Liverpool and Chelsea don't normally have cash forwards, but I think you could consider Mane or Lukaku just because of price. 7,400, 7,300 seems very cheap. So then you have like a pool for cash of maybe Saka, Mane, Lukaku, Lacazette, Tella, five players. I mean, am I missing anybody? Sure. Like we don't know Chelsea's lineup. So if you get Christian Pulisic, 5,900, that looks pretty good. Timo Werner, 6,700. He can be considered too. But, you know, regardless of what happens, I still don't think Salah is optimal. I agree with you. You're going to want to save that money for defender.
You could even throw Aubameyang in that mix as well. I mean, if all the guys that we're mentioning are more goal dependent than anything else, we don't have like these wide set piece taking forward players that like, what's the big difference between Aubameyang and Havertz?
Right.
Or I mean, I'd rather play Lukaku because he has better goal scoring odds, but ultimately Lukaku and Aubameyang have about the same floor, right? You know, they don't touch the ball that often. And when they do, it's a shot. And if they score, they score. If they don't, they don't. I feel most comfortable with Mane at 7,400, being that he typically plays 90 and he plays a little bit wider. Would you play Minamino if he started at 6,000, assuming that I can't see him going 90 minutes?
Yeah, like I wouldn't want to. I'd rather just find the salary and get to a Chelsea guy. I mean, Chelsea have no forwards priced over 7,300. I get Minamino 6,000, you know, on the team with the highest implied goal total, but yeah, no, I wouldn't love it. I mean, it seems fine, but I try to find the salary to get to those Chelsea guys, I guess, or get to Mane.
But there's no instance that you're playing Rafinha at 9,000.
No, I mean, absolutely not in cash games. No.
I'm surprised that he's that expensive. I mean, like Rafinha would be like a play like, oh, you tell me he's 6,400 as the one of the biggest underdogs. It's like, oh, that could be viable, but I mean, dude, he's the second highest priced player on the entire slate, practically.
Right.
Third highest in the whole slate.
Yeah. If he's, you know, the same salary as James Ward-Prowse, then yeah, you could consider him. 9K away to Chelsea. Yeah. You mentioned there's a lot of soft pricing on this slate. That is probably the opposite of soft pricing. So no, I don't think we consider Rafinha.
I don't see myself getting to Tella if he's in at 4,100. The there's no midfielders. I mean, well, we could talk about some midfielders. I just don't see a reason to punt a forward spot when the players that you'd be playing in the midfield at like 7K would be the guys that were forward eligible anyway. I mean, like,
I agree.
Tella at 41. If you're not going to play Tella, if he was just midfield only, then it doesn't matter to me whether or not he's a forward. It's not the type of slate where just take the lowest price forward because no one is good. It's like you're going to be forced to play some guys. I'd rather play a $4,100 midfielder or defender or, you know, from one of these. I'd rather play a guy like Fabinho at 3,400 than play Tella.
Yeah, and, okay. I would too, and I agree with what you said. Now, what if you want to play Ward-Prowse, and then let's say Ziyech starts and Mount doesn't, or let's say Emile Smith Rowe is in, and going to be taking set pieces. You know, you could pay up at midfield spots. I mean, if you're going to play Ward-Prowse, and it's possible that Ziyech or Emile Smith Rowe are decent cash plays. Maybe Tella becomes more viable then. I don't know. There could be some midfielders worth paying up for.
It could be, but I'm not sure that that's optimal.
Yeah.
I think the best play, the best overall plays on the slate are all defender eligible.
Mm-hmm.
So like, to me, like if I'm going to play three defenders that are 60 or 5,900 and above, it's going to be very hard for me. I mean, then would I rather play two 7K plus forwards or rather play, like, it comes down to, do I want to play James Ward-Prowse at 6,700 or do I want to play Mane, Lukaku, those guys? And truthfully, I think on this slate, I'd rather take the ceiling than Ward-Prowse's floor being a road underdog.
Even in, like, cash.
I'm doing whatever I can to, I don't feel like spending salary on the underdogs on this slate.
Yeah, I don't either. I was wondering what you were going to say about Ward-Prowse because, you know, I know you like Ward-Prowse and it is a, you know, under 7K, you know, 6,700 is a pretty good salary. It's not like he's at Liverpool. At Arsenal is a bit different. It's still not a very good matchup. I agree. I think the defenders on the slate are better plays than Ward-Prowse. I do like Ward-Prowse's penalty kick upside. He does have a ceiling in him when he gets on the score sheet. So yeah, what do you think about him?
I mean, I think he's fine.
But like, he's not like a cash priority for you.
No. It's not like one of these slates where it's like, just plug in James Ward-Prowse and get it over with. No. I to me, the cash priorities are at the defender position. I'm more likely to fill out my midfield spots with whatever fits and prioritize forward and defender and truthfully goalkeeper over the midfielders. I don't feel compelled. And even depending on how Arsenal and Chelsea line up, I may not even care who takes set pieces for like, I may not care if Mount's in. Like, it's one of those situations that if there's one clear guy, sure. But outside of that, if we see Odegaard and Saka and Smith Rowe, like, what do I, if they're going to split like 12 set pieces and there may be three here, four there, like, it's not like they're cheap. I mean, we're talking about like Odegaard's at 7,600, Smith Rowe's at 8,200, like Mount's at 9,300. Like, why would I prioritize these guys unless they were clearly like a set, they're priced as if they have a set piece monopoly, but these guys never do.
Right. And, you know, we've seen Chelsea sets are just, they're just always tough to predict. They switch their set piece taker pretty frequently. Just when you think you know who it's going to be, it's not the next game. It's very frustrating. Arsenal, yeah, they don't really have a monopoly taker. I mean, Odegaard's the closest thing, but he's not like a, you know, a guy we really try to target for DFS, especially at that salary. So, okay, then moving to midfield, which guys, you know, which cheap guys are you looking to get in there?
I mean, I'm going to, like, we have to see what Chelsea's lineup is going to be because I think the best midfield play could be Ross Barkley, right? If Barkley starts, and then I have no problem, you know, he's shown to take a lot of their set pieces and a 5,500. I don't mind that, even if he only plays 70 minutes. So, like, I don't mind him. Like, 5,100 for Henderson is not what I want to play, but, I mean, if Jorginho's in, there's penalty kick upside there. So, take him at 4,600. I think Loftus-Cheek, if he's in, at 4,100. I mean, I'm really just looking at the favored sides. Like, yeah. That's why, like, Fabinho ain't bad. I think it's weird to say, Thomas Partey at 3,300, I don't think is a bad punt. I mean, you're just basically punt going, Give me 4 points, and maybe you get an assist. Maybe you have something like that. But, I mean, if I'm going to pay that little for a player, I'm going to play one of the favorite players. I'm not looking at guys like playing John McGinn at 5,300, right? I'm not looking at playing I don't even know who I'd play. Like, it just seems like the underdogs, like, why Buendia or something if he's in the lineup at 4,900 at Liverpool. Like, why am I doing that? Yep. Like, I just want to get as much exposure as I can to the favorites, in cash games especially.
Yep.
And there's cheap enough guys that pricing is soft enough that, like, even some of these guys that are on those underdogs, I'd rather play someone like Joel Matip or Virgil van Dijk or like one of the Chelsea center backs. Like, I'd rather play those guys in a utility spot. But most likely my utility spots, I mean, I can't see. I know we're talking about midfield. I can't see you playing more than 3 midfielders. Like that, I can't see you playing more than 2, like the 2 required midfielders, because to me it's so clear that you're playing 3 defenders.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. So clear to play 3 defenders. As far as that midfield, I agree. I think Barkley would probably be close to a lock for cash games. You know, sounds weird to say, but he took almost all the set pieces midweek in the Champions League. He's one guy where, yeah, I would expect him to take the set pieces if he's in there. I mean, Mount was in there and Reece James was in there, yet Barkley was taking the set pieces. So that's pretty telling. Obviously it doesn't matter what I think, but I think Loftus-Cheek and Jorginho are going to start. I think Loftus-Cheek is healthy. I think they're both healthy, actually, even though it doesn't say that. Yeah, I think Loftus-Cheek would be fine for 4,100. I totally agree with you that I want to play the favored cheap midfielders over any of these underdog midfielders. And also, yeah, weird to say, I think Thomas Partey is a cash game play this week, spending all the way down. I could talk about Partey, but I think he actually has more upside than he's shown recently. The game log doesn't look great, but this matchup's better than a lot of Arsenal's recent matchups. He's been known to take a few set pieces, take some long shots, Southampton are starting, I believe 40-year-old Willy Caballero. I can't remember the last time he made a starting goal, but it wouldn't surprise me if, you know, Arteta instructed the team to take a few more long shots. So I agree with you. Favored cheap midfield seems like the way to go, and only 2 midfielders.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have The Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get The Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
So then, defender, you mentioned wanting to play 3. Which 3 would you like to get in?
You're playing three of these four guys. I mean, it's just, it's very clear cut. Trent Alexander-Arnold, Andrew Robertson, Rhys James, Marcus Alonso. You're playing three of those. Like, whatever three you want to play, I'd prioritize Trent over all of them. And I wouldn't, especially if Mount is in, I wouldn't necessarily prioritize Rhys James.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So like between the two, because Rhys James is 7,700. Obviously we could get a lineup where Aspen LaQueta is wide, right? Chilwell's out. So I'm assuming Alonso is in, but you never know what they're gonna do. But depending, I mean, to me, it's Trent Alexander-Arnold. The Liverpool fullbacks are more valuable than the Chelsea fullbacks.
Yeah.
I go Trent Alexander-Arnold, Robertson, Alonso, James. But I wouldn't put those three in. Like, I don't mind any three of these guys. So whatever fits in the rest of my lineup, like, that's fine. I would essentially say Trent for 8,000, he probably should be 9,500. To plug him in. But then if you say, oh, I have money to play Rhys James and I play Rhys James and Robertson, that's fine. If you want to play James and Alonso, that's fine. If you play Robertson, like whatever combination of the other two, I think is perfectly fine. To me in cash games, like unless for some odd reason, like Tsimikas starts, I mean, essentially it, we're not playing Arsenal fullbacks, right? We're not playing Tomiyasu. We're not playing, you know, even center backs or whatever. Like, just it's three of these guys. I mean, look at their floors. Their floor is a goal worth of points. Yeah. Why wouldn't you like? But how do you and their floor is a goal's worth of points, and they're priced less than the forwards that have a ceiling of the same score.
Yep, I pretty much agree with all that. I think you just locked Trent in. You mentioned he's underpriced. Probably should be 9K. Seems like the safest of these options. Has a as high of ceiling as any of them. One thing to mention about Rhys is he played center defensive mid on Wednesday against Zenit. And did pretty much nothing fantasy-wise. Yeah, he finished with 6.7 DraftKings points, and he didn't take any set pieces. So, you know, keep an eye out on the formation. I don't think he'll line up there again, but he could. And then
if he's lining up there, that means Jorginho and Loftus-Cheek are out, and Saul's not in. You know, like you'll be able to tell just from the personnel. Like, even if, like, FotMob or SofaScore screws it up or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, if you see two other central midfielders in the starting lineup for Chelsea, that means James is playing as a wingback.
Yeah, you know, I'm glad you brought that up because I actually got a little confused by it. And I know some other people did in the Champions League because – I'm just trying to check quick, but Saul was in the starting lineup. So was Barkley. So was Mount. And it seemed, you know, that SofaScore and FotMob did not have Rhys there. They had Rhys on the wing. You should be able to tell, but like they played a formation that I'm not sure that they played it before because they didn't have, you know, central midfielders in there. Hudson-Odoi played right wing back, which he has before.
That's the tell. I mean, to me, that's the, like, you take a look, if you don't see defensive midfielders and you see Hudson-Odoi in there, like, and you see Alonso, you know where Alonso's going to be. So like to me, that would have been the tell, but I mean, I can understand it being confusing. It's the same thing that we used to have with Aspilicueta, right? It would look like he's playing on it's like, oh yeah, he's playing fullback. It's like, nope, he's playing in the back three. And we've seen that with Rhys James before.
Okay.
Like, so Rhys James is playing in the back three. It's like, no, just count the center backs.
Okay.
Like,
so
count
I brought
the guys, you should be able to tell.
Okay. So I brought the formation up and this is why I was confused. Saul played on the left wing, left wing back, which I didn't expect. You know, formations had him, you would expect him as center mid. I mean, I expected Saul to be at center mid with either Mount or Barkley. Like, Mount and Barkley being in there made it seem like one of them would play deeper just because Timo and Lukaku were in there. So you figure Timo Lukaku up top with either Mount or Barkley, that would mean the other one's in central midfield. They use Saul on the left wing, which is kind of weird. I don't know. Anyways, you should be able to tell. I got confused, and I like to think that normally I'm pretty good at figuring the formations out based on the lineups, but this time it was a bit confusing. I agree. So Trent, yeah, Trent's just the first one in there. Reece James, yeah, maybe. He's expensive. Set pieces just aren't guaranteed. Depending on the lineup, you can maybe figure if he's going to have any or not. But again, still never guaranteed. Marcus Alonso, I really don't like rostering Marcus Alonso, but I understand it. His salary came down. He hasn't taken sets in a few games. But again, then he'll show up and take 13 like he did a few games ago.
But he also has open play value. I mean, these guys have open play value also, so... Like Alonso, it's not like he defends.
Right. No. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they have open play value also. I guess what I'm getting to is probably Robertson seems safest to get in there after Trent, at least for me. He's cheaper and he's going to take sets. He's probably a little bit too cheap, has a good floor. But yeah, you're rostering three of these guys. I will say... as it pertains to Arsenal, Nuno Tavares has a higher floor than people might realize in these matchups. I'm not like saying he's a cash play, but to be honest, if it were between Marcus Alonso or if I had to go down, if I needed 800 and I had to play Tavares over Marcus Alonso, I don't think that's bad. Like, I don't think you're making a mistake, I guess, is all I'm saying. I agree with you. I would prioritize Liverpool and Chelsea, absolutely. But I don't hate Tavares, over Alonso, for example.
Right. I would think it's suboptimal, but not like, I wouldn't call you nuts.
Yeah. Okay.
To me, it's weird on this slate. I prioritize, if I had to go down from Alonso to Tavares to get either Alisson or Mendy, I would do that. To me, I think I'm on a 3-game slate. I tend to care, like, since there's less goalkeepers to choose from, like, it's even more important to get 10 to 12 points out of one of them. Obviously, you know, if Liverpool give up a goal and Chelsea don't, then you need Mendy. If it's the other way around, like, you're not going to know which one. But like, I'm not going to play Ramsdale. I'll find the 300. I'll find the 400. So to me, in cash games, I'm either going to play Alisson, Mendy, or Caballero. Like, if I'm less likely to have Arsenal players in my lineup. So if I'm going to pay down, I'm paying 3,900 for Caballero. Because based on the odds, like, Caballero probably, I mean, the spread between Ramsdale and Caballero probably should be more like 5,200 and 4,200. And we have it at 5,539. So from like a line value perspective, technically Ramsdale's overpriced and Caballero is underpriced.
Yep.
Technically. But I'm not a big fan of, the soccer bias is like, I'm not thrilled about playing Caballero.
Right. No, yeah, I agree. Going to want to get up to Alisson or Mendy. Both for cash games and also tournaments. Everything you said, I agree with you.
And like to put things into perspective a little, just if you look at the RotoWire cheat sheet, which you could get if you're a subscriber, rotowire.com/soccer trial, that Liverpool has slightly higher win percentage, but Chelsea has a slightly higher clean sheet percentage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so interesting.
Like, We have Liverpool wins at 77.5, Chelsea at 75.45. Liverpool clean sheet 43.8, Chelsea 46.1. I think that's primarily due to the fact that Villa's a better team now than Leeds. What's going on with Leeds? Leeds is just dropped. I mean, I feel more comfortable with Mendy. I don't know. I don't see how Leeds scores.
Yeah, so I agree. What's happened with Leeds? Yeah, they do not look like the team from last year.
Everyone's out. They have Bamford out. They have Phillips out. I mean, like,
dealing with a lot of injuries.
The core of their team is injured.
I feel pretty comfortable with Alisson too, only because Leeds still plays, you know, they don't sit back. They'll at least still play their style and you know, I guess try to be more attacking. You know, they still have, you know, Rafinha and a few players who can, you know, unlock defenses. And Chelsea, you know, they gave up quite a few amazing chances to get against Zenit midweek, and they gave up 3 goals against Zenit. Now, I know, you know, it's just one game, recency bias, all that. I think Chelsea's clean sheet odds are higher, also partly because of how amazing Mendy and the defense has been. I mean, Mendy's clean sheet numbers are absolutely ridiculous. I mean, since joining Chelsea, he's kept a clean sheet in over 50% of his matches, over 50% of his matches this season. So, yeah, I mean, I feel safe with either guy. Like, I don't know, you know, you say Chelsea, I'd probably lean Alisson, but again, like, we're splitting hairs. Both of them are the same. Go with whoever you feel more comfortable with.
Yeah, but just understand that the difference, it's going to be the most important decision in your lineup, possibly. Mm-hmm. And it's something that you're not going to be able to predict, right? You play Alisson, and then Liverpool wins 3-1, and then Chelsea wins 2-0, and Mendy has 14 points, and Alisson has 3. And there's the cash line, and there you go. I mean, like...
Right.
So there's no wrong answer until after the slate.
No, you're right, and it's going to be an important decision. Look, I understand Mendy. Like, another thing that, like, usually has me preferring Alisson and or Ederson. I bring up Ederson because I like Liverpool and City. They just possess the ball so much, and the other teams get so few chances, where I can see Leeds at least creating some chances, even though they've been bad. Just the way they play and sort of, I don't know. Again, make whatever argument you want. Pick whichever guy you like.
With all this discussion about Chelsea and Liverpool, GPPs, Nuno Tavares plus Thomas Partey plus Aubameyang. Or, I mean, I just think all these Arsenal guys, especially if Smith Rowe is in, like, it makes them all, like from a floor perspective, like, overpriced. But who says the Arsenal can't win 3-0? I mean, like, why couldn't you play? I mean, I think all these guys are going to be under. I think Aubameyang is going to be the most under-owned player on the slate for his goal scoring odds.
I agree with you. Arsenal looks really good for GPP. This is a big game for Arsenal. After they've lost 3 of their last 4 now, losing to Liverpool and Manchester United, which is okay, but then like a sort of a heartbreaking loss to Everton on Monday. This is a big game for Arsenal. They're going to want to win. They're going to want to score goals. I mean, this is, Aubameyang is going to be under-owned. Smith Rowe, I always love rostering Smith Rowe. I love him as a player. He's always less popular. Like, no one rosters him, you know, because people go to Saka. It makes a lot of sense. What are you thinking for GPPs, I guess? Arsenal, anything else?
Arsenal, and then trying to find cheap midfield goals.
Yep.
I mean, essentially, because, I mean, it's like we only have 3 games to choose from, so it's not like Chelsea, Lukaku is going to be popular. Mane and Salah are going to be popular. Whoever's in the front line for Chelsea and Liverpool are going to be owned. I think the Arsenal ones are going to be the lower owned ones. So to me, it's like if, you know, you play Jorginho or Loftus-Cheek instead of Lukaku, you play Fabinho, Henderson, Thiago. You know, you're playing those two teams, but just the midfielders of those two teams. And then the other thing is you could play a forward. Like, why not play Arsenal, but you also play Armando Broja or Che Adams. Like, so as long as you're finding the goal scorer, I think the problem is with the underdogs is that I don't want to take a shot on like Oriol Romeo. I mean, like those types of guys. It's like you want the goal, you want a forward from those teams that get a goal or maybe two goals like that. Like if you're going to play Villa, play Watkins, right? Play someone like that.
Yeah.
But I would only play them alongside players from the opposing team.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not playing for a Villa 1-0 win. I'm playing for Liverpool winning 4-1 and Watkins has that goal, right? Or Leeds, you're playing like Rodrigo or something, or Harrison, or even Click, I guess. But you're playing them with like three Chelsea players because they do score one goal. And in fact, you'd rather have the underdog score the goal early.
Yep.
And then you have three, four guys from the other side of the game, and now they're going nutso, and the other team is parking the bus. So it's like, to me, that is a way to get different. That's, to me, a secondary way of getting different. I'm more likely to, like, I'll play, like, in a lineup, I'm playing the Liverpool forwards and then the Chelsea midfielders, like the cheap Chelsea midfielders or a Chelsea center back goal. Or I'm doing the opposite. I'm playing the Chelsea forwards and then I'm playing Thiago, Fabinho, Van Dijk type of thing. Or Arsenal in general. Like, to me, I don't think you need to do anything. Once you play Arsenal players in your lineup, then just play whoever the hell you want at that point, because I think they're going to be the lowest owned players regardless. You don't have to think in terms of, oh, I'm going to play Aubameyang, I'm going to play Thomas Partey, I'm going to play Nuno Tavares. I can't play Mane in this or Lukaku in this line. No, of course you can, because I think you're perfectly different just by what you're doing with Arsenal.
Yeah, I totally agree. If I'm going to go to an underdog, it's definitely going to be a Southampton forward. You know, it's never shocking when any team scores against Arsenal, whether they're underdogs or not, and the prices on the Southampton forwards are pretty favorable. I agree, like, you're looking for the cheap midfield goal. That's what I'll be doing. GPP strategy for me on these small slates, I'm going to want to play the three highest scoring defenders. It's not that much different than cash, and then find some goals. Sort of just analyzing the games, like, normally, you know, I favor Liverpool over Chelsea just in terms of targets, but I think it's opposite on this slate. The prices on Chelsea are cheap and the matchup is amazing. Like, if it was Liverpool against Leeds, I'd want the Liverpool guys, but Chelsea against Leeds, they are going to create many clear-cut chances, and those forwards are very cheap. So I lean the Chelsea guys, and then I'll try to find like one spot to get different, you know, a cheap midfield or a cheap forward that isn't going to be played. Or like you said, I plan on playing Arsenal with Chelsea guys, and that should be good enough. I don't think you need to do too much to worry about getting different on this slate, as long as you, like you said, play some Arsenal, play some cheap mids. That's pretty much it.
Right. And you have to expect that Villa is going to be up for this game. Right, Gerrard coming to Anfield.
Oh wow, I didn't even think of that. Yeah,
right. So I mean, if there's a game that the manager wants to have a good showing, it's gonna be. I mean, this is gonna be his first time. I mean, this is his first time as a manager back at Anfield.
Yep.
He'll get a standing ovation.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, no,
he's a club legend. I mean, come on. It doesn't matter that he's on the other side of the, you know, the touchline or whatever, but no, it's one of those people that, you know, if Liverpool fans were going to root for any other team in the Premier League, it's going to be Aston Villa with Gerrard at manager.
Right. Yeah, he's, you know, one of the biggest Liverpool legends in history, basically universally loved by everyone who supports that club. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. You could see Villa frustrating Liverpool. They've looked pretty good defensively since Gerrard's got there. Liverpool's also in great form. They've been tearing teams apart for the most part, so it wouldn't shock you if they put up three or four either.
I'm throwing in the narrative. I don't really care, but I'm just
throw it in
there that people don't realize that you know that they may be a little bit more extra motivated to play defense at least.
Absolutely, yeah, it's a big game. Narratives are important sometimes, but yeah, three game slate. I mean, not too much to cover. I think we covered pretty much everything.
Right. It would be much more interesting of a slate if there were three closer games.
Right. Like, you're right. There's just, when you eliminate teams, you have even less to choose from. So it's one of those sort of don't overthink it, I guess.
Don't overthink the teams, but there are actually there are tons of ways to make combinations. There are multiple options on a lot of these teams that, like, I would not be there are like 10 guys on the slate that I would not be shocked if they showed up with two goals.
No. So what I would say is then play the best three defenders, whoever you think those are, and then let salary dictate the rest because, you know, Mane is cheaper than all the Liverpool forwards. We've said this before. He can easily be the highest scoring of all them. Yeah, you know, I don't need to get into it. Play focus on the defenders you want and let salary dictate the rest, I guess.
Yep.
Okay.
See, we didn't need Adam for this. We didn't need Adam to call out his Lianco goal? What goal? What garbage center back is?
You know, I
Rudiger,
think
we'd be on Rudiger. I'd definitely be on Rudiger.
Was just gonna say that. This is a Rudiger slate. I know you mentioned briefly about playing a center back in the flex as opposed to a midfielder. I'm totally on board with that. I just won a tournament a couple weeks ago with a center back at the flex, and Rudiger is the perfect guy for that. I just saw actually this morning there's news about him getting a contract that's going to make him the highest paid defender in the world or one of them, but that doesn't matter. He shoots all the time, and it's a good matchup for Chelsea, so I'll take Adam's role as the center back whisperer because I'm sure, like you said, he would recommend Rudiger. I like Rudiger too now that he's not 4,500. Okay. Thanks, Jordan. I know we have Premier League games midweek next week. We might have some podcasts. We'll see. If not, there'll definitely be one on Friday. So thank you, Jordan, and good luck, everybody.